Thank you, gentlemen. Look forward to this afternoon, right? They'll give us a full-fledged concert this afternoon, and we will be blessed again indeed. Praise the Lord. So, good morning this first Sunday of a brand new year in Iowa. 40 degrees and sunny. Hallelujah, right? This is great. And we are so thrilled that we get to start the new year off the way we do, with some beautiful weather outside, some good fellowship inside. This is a full day. We have some great music. We get to gather around the Lord's table this morning as well. We have some guests here today. The Farvers are here, and we're glad to get to know them. And we have some other guests that are with us here today. And we are glad that we can share in this Lord's Day together, January 5th, 2020. Wish we had Barbara Walters here to say, "Welcome, this is 2020. So what do you do to get organized for the new year? I'm sure you got some rituals and some things that you have to get accomplished. I'm sure that one of those things is you got to change all the calendars in the house. And I don't know about you, but I get all the free calendars I can. And if you run short of calendars, just go to your local bank. Go to Lauterbach. They have plenty of calendars there. Go to a good car dealership. They got plenty of calendars. That's one of the things I do. I have a number of rituals that I go through in the beginning of the new year, and I did that the other day, put new calendars up. I go into my office and I sort through a bunch of financial records and start collecting data for taxes. I reorganize some computer files. And then I organize my personal calendar. And this is my personal calendar. It's a dayminder, and this is the 2020 edition of the calendar. And this is last year's calendar. I use the same calendar. Now, I've used the same calendar for 36 years. I'm not stuck in a rut. I just believe that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I took a quiz the other day. You know you're middle-aged when? And one of them is you still have a paper calendar. So I use this calendar, get it organized, got to write down all the birthdays, got to write down important dates, got to write down my schedules, and it's a great tool that I use and carry around with me to keep track of what I'm doing. So that's one of my rituals that I go through. I'm sure you do similar things as well as you get ready for the new year. You put away the old and you get out the new. So I would like to offer you some help this morning of how to begin the new year well. Now I got a couple of disclaimers. I am not going to be Dr. Phil on TV who's going to give you advice on how to get improvement on all of your relationships, okay? I'm not going to do that. Nor am I going to be Dr. Oz on TV and give you advice on how to have better nutrition this year and start a weight loss program. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I want to take you to the Bible and to show you some areas in your life that you can make some new spiritual changes. So take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And my text is from verses 23 and 24 today. The message is entitled The New You and the New Year. But the context I'd like to read for you is starting with verse 17 through verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. I invite you to stand while we read the scripture together. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17 down through verse 24. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to open up your word this beginning Sunday of this new year, to show us some instruction, how we can put on the new this new year, how we can be more like you, more Christ-like. The song we just sang here a few minutes ago reminds us that Christ, glory all belongs to Christ. Thank you so much that we get to worship together. Thank you so much we get to learn together and live our faith together. We pray that you will just guide and direct our time around your word as we seek to put on Christ greater this new year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a great text, verses 23 and 24, about how to have newness in life. When we are saved, the moment you become a Christian, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are already made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reminds us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." So once we become saved, we're already new. Yet verses like the text before us in Ephesians chapter 4 remind us that that truth needs to be daily lived. We have to translate that truth to our testimony. We have to turn that doctrine into our duty. And this is a great passage. It shows us two things here that we need new in our life. First of all, in verse 23, it says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. First point of my message. That basically means that we need to have a new attitude in our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which the Apostle Paul also wrote, put it this way, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for renewal implies the continual renewal in the use of the new man. There is a sense that this renewal means that we return to a youthfulness in our thinking. You know the old saying, you are never too old to learn, right? That's true. Let me modify that saying a little bit, slight change. You are never too old to think young again. So there's hope for us old folks, right? We are never too old to think young again. Yesterday, I conducted a funeral at First Baptist Church of a dear lady. Her name was Mavis Henderson. She was 93 years old. Wonderful lady, great testimony of faith. And her mind was sharp till the very end. I'd visit her and she'd want to know how my family was doing, and she would tell me about her family. She wanted to know who the people on the prayer list was. She wanted to know the details of her life. Her mind was extremely sharp, but her body was very, very frail. And that bothered her, because in her mind, she thought she was a young person, and yet this body that she lived in was old. In a very real sense, this passage is telling us the same thing. Whatever our body is, we need to have a young mind, a youthful thinking mind, a mind that wants to be renewed, a mind that wants to be new and fresh and energetic. When we have a youthful mind, we want to push out the sin that's in our life. We want to pull in righteousness into our life. When we have a youthful mind, we want to be less influenced by the world and more influenced by the Word of God. When we have a youthful mind, we have less of a desire to be selfish and more of a desire to please God. Philippians 4:8. Again, another passage the Apostle Paul wrote said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. We need to think new thoughts, thoughts that are godly, thoughts that have the enthusiasm of youthfulness, if we could put it that way. You know, there's a couple of gateways into our mind. Our eyes and our ears are two phenomenal gateways into our mind. We need to put the Bible into them. What do our eyes see? Do our eyes see the words of God before us? Do we read them and seek to comprehend them and put them into our mind to live out? Do we have the desire and the energy and the passion to do that? When we have a renewed mind, yeah, we want to let our mind see the Word of God. We also have ears. We also want to hear the Word of God. We have all sorts of technology. We're able to do that. I have a smartphone, and I have the Bible on my smartphone. And I can, anywhere, I can listen to the Bible, read the Bible. This new year, do you have a plan that you follow to read the Bible or listen to the Bible or a devotional? What are your eyes and your ears hearing and seeing to renew your mind? What's your Bible reading plan for the new year? Do you have a devotional book that you read that you can get God's Word into your mind? What kind of media do you watch and listen to? We need to have Christian media influence us, whether it's internet or books or magazines or films or movies. We need to have Christian media influencing our mind. And we need to have a prayer-like attitude in our mind, wanting to communicate our spirit with God's spirit. We need to have a prayer pattern that we follow in our routine of life. How are you going to put the Bible into your mind this year? How are you going to pray your spirit with God's spirit this year? When we have a renewed spirit in our mind, a new attitude, we want to have new thoughts, improving our relationship with our Lord. There's always room for improvement. On this side of eternity, we will never fully arrive. We always can grow fresh and new. So we need some new thoughts, some new enthusiasm, some new energy in our mind, transformed and renewed with the Word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we have new thoughts and have a renewed mind, they're going to be followed by new actions, a new lifestyle, new practices of living, and that's point two, verse 24. And put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. The new self is the new nature created after the likeness of God, one of righteousness and holiness. When our thinking is renewed, so also will be our lifestyle. When we have a new self, we will have a new nature. It comes from a new mind, a renewed mind, a new self. This new self that we have, that we can grow into, that we can mature into in this new year, is not a renovated old self. It's not a remodeled old self. It's not even a reformed old self. But it's a new self, an altogether new nature, patterned after the likeness of God, growing closer to His character and His nature. The New Living Translation puts this verse this way: put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let me read that again for you. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You see, when we are born of the flesh, we have a sinful nature within us. When we are born again, we are given a new nature. And this new nature is not our work. You know, we had nothing to do with being born. We just were born. When we're born again, all we do is take a step of faith. God does the renewing. We are a creation of God. It is a gift of salvation. It's a gift of grace. Our salvation is accomplished fully by Christ through His Spirit. We just yield ourselves to Him. And we are born again. We are given this new nature. At the very moment of our conversion, we have this new nature. And thus, God is within us, and we can take on His nature, and we can be righteous, and we can be holy. We can make a case that righteousness is right conduct before others, and holiness is piety towards God, if you want to separate it that way. Righteousness is living right before others. Holiness is that right relationship we have with God, that piety. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, and the danger that the Christians were facing in Ephesus was that they were surrounded by a world, a culture that was corrupt in their morals, and it was a very idolatrous culture. Thus, the emphasis the Apostle Paul gives here is that they needed to have righteousness in their relationships in contrast to the moral corruption that was all around them. With our new nature, we need to behave differently from the world around us. Different morals. And they needed to have holiness to God in contrast to the pagan false gods that were around them. They lived in the city where the temple of Diana, this pagan, ritualistic, fertile goddess was supposed to be worshipped. Very immoral culture. And the Christians, they needed to live a life that was definitely in contrast to the culture in righteousness, and also in contrast with the culture, they were worshiping the true God. They were worshiping Him in holiness and in truth. As believers, they and we need to have a new mind and live out a new nature in our godly life. We need to put on like putting on new clothes or putting on our best clothes like we did today. Our task is not to weave these clothes, but to simply wear them. We must daily take off the old clothes that are stained with sin and selfishness and self-righteousness and sensuality and put on new clothes that are bright with righteousness and holiness. Dr. Kent Hughes in his Ephesians commentary writes this, "We have our part to do in dressing ourselves with the divine wardrobe. For here, clothes do make the man and the woman. We must daily set aside the rotting garments of the old man. We must put on new shining garments of light. We must put on what we are." Remember, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. That's the doctrine. That's the truth. That's our standing before God. Now we need to live that out. New mind that's renewed, thinks godly thoughts, and a new nature that lives out righteousness before the watching world, practicing the truths of the Scripture, and a holy relationship with Almighty God. We need to live and walk in the Spirit. Great passage of Scripture that shows us that. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. Here's a great contrast. Galatians chapter 5. For many of you, it's just like one page back in your Bible. Let me read verse 16 and then verses 19 through 25. And see this contrast that needs to be very distinct in our life. Galatians 5, again, the Apostle Paul is writing this too. Verse 16, "But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Powerful phrase. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. What a contrast that passage shows us. What we put off and what we put on. And back in Ephesians, when we have a renewed mind and live out our new nature of righteousness and holiness, look what we put on. We put on, in this passage, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we can live out. Because that's what's in us. It's God's nature. It's what's in us. We can live that out. Love, joy, peace, patience, the whole list. Will you live the fruit of the Spirit this year? Think about that. Can your lifestyle demonstrate and display to the world love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Can you live that out? Can you put on the fruit of the Spirit? It's within us. It's within our nature. We need to think we can and live it out. Something else we can put on our spiritual gifts. All of us have been given, Jesus is our Savior, all of us have been given spiritual gifts. That's what we have to serve others with. Can you put that on this year and serve others with your spiritual gifts? That's how important it is to have the body of Christ together. We need to be together. The church that we're a part of, whatever church you're a part of, if this is your church, you need to have the privilege, you have the privilege of serving one another with your spiritual gifts. You get to put that on. You get to live that out. We all get to be blessed by your ministry. You can put on our spiritual gifts. Put on what we are. And another one, Isaiah 61:3 talks about putting on the garment of praise. We can put that on too. That involves our worship, like we're doing today. Music and the message and the fellowship. We put on a garment of praise. Man, that's a great looking garment. That's what we are. That was what we can display. That's how important the Lord's Day is for us. We set aside one day of the week to gather together, to worship the Lord together. And we get to put on the garment of praise together. And you can do this in your personal life as well. Can you live out the fruit of the Spirit? Can you exercise your spiritual gifts? Can you be committed to worshiping together in 2019? Whoa, 2020. See, one of the mistakes you're going to make is you're going to get the year mixed up. It's always a challenge to put the new date down, right? 2020. All this is centered in Christ. Again, you go back to the Ephesians passage. That paragraph is introduced this way. But you do not learn Christ this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as is the truth in Jesus. Our new nature, our new mind is centered in Christ. Remember, on the church website, the goal of this church is to put Christ at the center of our lives. When He's at the center of our life, when He's our focus, when He's our motivation, when He's our passion, we can have a renewed mind. We have a new self. I trust that this year we kept Christ in Christmas. Now let's make sure that we keep Christ first place in the new year. Beginning again here on January 5th, 2020. In my study this week, I found a quotation from St. Patrick of the 5th century about the importance of being Christ-centered. I discovered that there's variants to this poem, and this is kind of my variant of his poem. But it reminds us that everything we do, and from our minds, our renewed mind, to our new self, it's all about Christ. And here's the poem. Christ with me, Christ in me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to my right, Christ to my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. Let's be Christ-focused, and a great way to start off the new year together is to worship around the Lord's table. For this is Christ-centered. The Lord's table shows us the high cost of the free gift of our salvation. The Lord's table shows us through our senses what Christ has done for us. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 explains the Lord's table this way. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. And when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment." This passage reminds us the importance of examining ourselves. And I want us to take a few moments before we partake of the table, just in quiet meditation, to go back to the Lord. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin we need to deal with at the beginning of this new year. Maybe we need to recommit ourselves and remind ourselves of that moment of salvation. Maybe it's an opportunity for us to renew ourselves in our mind, to live out a new nature in our actions. Maybe it's an opportunity for us just to worship and to thank the Lord that we're saved.